Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 44 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Shifting Atmospheres, Part 5. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Amen. Just feel like I just want to keep praying. So, Lord God, just be with us is our prayer. As we're moving on this morning in shifting atmospheres, this is a very, 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 very important topic for where we're headed as a church and where I believe the church of Jesus Christ on the planet is heading. I believe we are heading. I think we need to be trained. We need to get it. We need to learn. We need to catch what it means when we are shifting atmospheres. The natural world has an atmosphere, and the spiritual world has an atmosphere. And I would like for us to consider this truth. The enemy, Satan himself, has already been defeated. Now, with that said, he's defeated, but he's not dead. What do I mean by that? What I mean is Satan has no power. So, well, if Satan has no power, where's all of this coming from? Satan has no power, but he does have deception. Satan's mode of operations is deception. He deceives. He, in the beginning, he deceived Eve and Adam. He is a deceiver. As a deceiver, he tries to get us to, in deceiving us, he has to use us. He has to use people through deception to carry out his exploits. Now, believe it or not, whether you have power or not is not the issue. The issue is who is using your power. Who's using the power? Hitler himself is, he had no power. Well, how did Hitler accomplish all that he accomplished? By deceiving others to use their power to destroy and kill people. Hitler didn't throw Jews into the oven, but he took the power of other humans to throw people in the ovens. Can you hear me? So it's deception that rules. Deception and manipulation. Some of you have a very keen response time to people that are deceptive, right? You can just feel it. Oh, I feel like somebody's shooting me a curve here. I feel like I'm being deceived here. Well, the Holy Spirit is very keen to deception. And when this happens, we should have flags and signals go up within us. Deception, Satan has no power. But he is a great deceiver. And with that deception, he can control the world. Now, keep this in mind. Shifting atmospheres. What is Satan after? What is the dark side after? He is after to make every day of, to make it rain in every day of your life. For you to have a stormy atmosphere, for you to have a rainy atmosphere. It doesn't make any difference if it's sunshine outside or raining outside. You determine your own personal atmosphere. The outside atmosphere is not to determine your internal atmosphere. Can you hear me? Now, with that in mind, of shifting atmospheres, we've been over so far the atmosphere of anticipation, how that when you're in atmospheric change, spiritual atmosphere of your life change, you must always be in a position of anticipating the change, anticipating a God moment in your life. It's the anticipation. If you are a football player, You will never catch a pass that you're not anticipating coming. So anticipation is what aligns you with the kingdom of heaven. You are in a constant state of anticipation. As we're sitting in here this morning in this services that's coming up, I am anticipating truly God coming on the scene and changing things that we can't change. It's called anticipation. God can move and you still not see it. Put it this way. Do you think God's moving more than you're seeing Him move? I imagine so. That being the case, it's not that I'm anticipating that I'm going to move. It's that we're anticipating the movement of the Spirit. That anticipation aligns you. If you anticipate bad things happening, what are you aligning yourself with? Bad things happening. And pride in you says, I told you so. So you are very prideful of bad things happening in your life because you were right and prophesied it so. A little sick, don't you think? Anticipation has everything to do with alignment. We must make this shift. Gathering atmosphere, we must understand that in our state of anticipation, that we are in the process of gathering things that are in heaven and that are in earth and bringing them together. All of our increases are supposed to be a little of heaven and a little of earth. They're coming together, and with that anticipation, it aligns you that you can then gather from heavenly places and earthly and bring them together. We'll get into more of that. The next thing is your relationship. Your relationship with heaven is what I taught on this one a few weeks back. It's our relationship. I have discovered that the people of God honestly do not understand what they have inherited in Christ Jesus. We are not to be namsy-pamsy, sweet little cookies in a corner. We're to be bold, because, and you can't be bold unless you understand and have received your position in the kingdom of God. Now, we got into that. We'll get into that more. A heavenly place's atmosphere change. We start seeing the earth, we start seeing mankind from a heavenly viewpoint. Now, let's move on right quickly. There's something out there in the heavenly atmospheres that are opposing what God's doing. Anybody noticed? There's an opposition in the heavenly atmosphere against what God is moving and doing on the planet. Now, you're not to get that worried about it. You just need to understand it's true. I know of people who believe, they say they're Christian, but they say, well, the spiritual realm is not real. I'm going to show you some scripture in a minute that says that's not true. The spiritual realm is real. Matter of fact, it was here before the physical realm. Now, there's something out there in the heavenly atmosphere that wants to change atmosphere. You must be who you came here to be. As the spiritual atmosphere, there's something out there opposing what God's doing. That means He's opposing what God's doing in your life. Here's the key. To change atmosphere in your life and in your area, you must be who God sent you here to be. I went over that in the last few weeks, how you're not to be who somebody else says you're to be. It's very confusing how it's so confusing. I mean, when you go to school, you're either an A student, B student, C student, D student, or like some of us extra privileged, you might have even had an F or two. Those letters do not define who you are. I'm sorry. It just doesn't define who you are, even though we've set it as a standard to define somebody else's opinion of you does not create who you are. Can anybody get that? It doesn't. The only one that you can take to the bank is who God says you are. It's the only one you can take to the bank. I can prove it to you. When man says this is who you are, you will spend your entire life trying to live up to who somebody else thinks you need to be, only to find out you can never accomplish it. When man does it, he moves the mark. You never reach it. You never satisfied the opinion of others. So the sooner you get over to that one and let it go, the quicker you can move on with who God's created you to be. And when you start walking in who God's created you to be, you can then change atmosphere in your life and in the lives of those around you. You don't want to be not who someone else wants you to be. And I went over that one. That happens a lot with husband and wives. I'm sorry, it just does. The husband says, I know who my wife needs to be. And the wife says, well, I know who my husband needs to be. You need to back off a little bit. You need to allow individuals to grow and identify who they are in Christ. Because when every one of us die and leave here, you're not taking your husband and wife with you, hopefully. Right? You do it by yourself. As I heard a preacher say, all caskets are just one to a box. We all leave here as an individual. We must learn to allow everybody to develop as an individual in Christ so they can find out who they're going to be and who they are and why they're here. That's the issue. We need to be very careful of how you tell your husband or the wife tells her husband or vice versa of who you're supposed to be. The right answer is, I want to pray with you so that you can discover who God wants you to be. Can you be that free with your spouse to trust God, that God can talk to your spouse, right? Because usually when we're trying to control our spouses, it has something to do on how you're going to serve me, right? You're not serving me well. Well, you need to conform to this. I got to get off this topic. I don't know why I'm going here. Anyway, just quit it. All right. You will follow who you admire. In following Christ, you must be aware that you are in a state of a continual becoming. So we're constantly moving. We're constantly changing. To be able to change atmosphere, we must understand we're becoming. We're becoming like Christ. That means that I am not the same as I was a year ago. Right? Have you seen somebody you hadn't seen for 5 or 10 years, and you say, boy, you sure have changed? Well, if somebody says that to you, I hope you can say, it's because I'm not the same person. I'm changing every year, every day. I'm not the same person that I was 5 years ago. That's the reason you don't recognize me now. Everybody with me? We want to be able to change that much. Please hear me. Don't preserve yourself. Jesus came to save you from that. We want to constantly become. And in that state of becoming, you must see yourself as worthy of becoming. Now, this is key. You've got to see yourself as worthy. I'm trying to express to you how we change atmosphere. How do you become bold in the things of God and in the things of Christ? It's because you see yourself. We are born, we have inherited this fallen nature that we're not worthy. You say, well, Alan, not everybody's like that. People brag on themselves all the time. Let me give you a news flash here. People who brag on themselves, the truth is, they feel the most unworthy. It's the only reason you brag, because you feel unworthy. You're trying to find an audience that'll agree with you. Can you hear me? So those people that feel the need to brag on themselves or feel the need of somebody else bragging on who you are, if you got to be patted on the back, rubbed on the head all the time, it's because you don't understand who you are. You're wanting other people to define who you are by a pat on the back or a good old boy or, man, I'm not against encouraging people, but if you require 24-hour-a-day patting on the head, something's wrong. Right? This means yes, that means no. That's right. So, you got to see yourself as worthy of becoming like Christ. This is not a preschool class. This is for Christians who are going to change the world. I'm looking for world changers. To be a world changer, you got to be a life changer. Now, you got to become worthy. Someone else's opinion of you, good or bad, does not have to become your reality. I'm a famous speaker. You must pursue your becoming, for as you do, you are creating your reality. Now, four things about heavenly atmospheres. They're real. They have real geographical influence. Jesus is geographically somewhere. Are you with me? Heavenly atmospheres are real. It says this in Ephesians, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to what? Which is to come. He wrought in Christ. Now, let's move. They have organized structure. The heavenly places are organized. I underline the word host. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. I went into what a host was. This is the mass of angels. Now, I'm headed somewhere, if I can get there in a few weeks, to give us the understanding of our relationship with angels. Is anybody interested? It's real. But you got to follow me. You got to get the conviction of it before I can get you there. Are angels real? The answer is yes. I've had people say, well, Alan, there's an angel over here. I maybe don't see it, but I can always sense its presence. You can sense the presence of angels. Some people can see angels. I've seen them twice. Some people can see angels. I don't regularly. But what does it mean? Your anticipation aligns you with the kingdom of heaven. So you have to anticipate seeing angels before you're going to see one. Now, anyways, it's organized structure. It's a host. It says this. Now, watch this one. For by him were all things created. Who is the him there? Somebody tell me. It's Christ Jesus. Now, I want, follow me here now. For by him were how many things created? Who created all things? Him. Him created all things. And who's him? Jesus created all things that are where? In heaven and in earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by who? By him and who? Now, here's a misconception. That's not a misconception. Let me give you a little more understanding here. God didn't create the heavens and the earth. Jesus did. Now, don't get offended at me. We know the Trinity. But you got to see something here. You got to understand that Jesus is the one that created the heavens and the earth, thrones and dominions. They're created by him. Now, why is that? Does that exclude God? Of course not, because of the Trinity. But most people focus on God created it all. Jesus is the creator. Now, here's why that's important. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, still wanting to create. You got to identify with who's in the creating business around here. He created in you eternal life. Jesus is the part of the Godhead that's in the creating business. Are you with me? So who's got the authority over it? The Creator. So why is the name of Jesus so important? It's in his name that we have authority over all that was created. Are you feeling it? I know I stung you there just a little. It always does because you hit a little darkness, a little misconception. I'm not putting down God. I'm raising up Jesus by the Scripture so you can identify. See, God's the Father and he's more out there. Jesus is in you, the hope of glory. It's more personal. That's the reason the Apostle Paul was trying to communicate with those here. For by him were all things created. Oh, my goodness. that are where? Heaven and earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. You've got to be kidding me. All things were created by him and for him. So Jesus is the center of the universe. You are identifying with the center of all things, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he wants to live in you. He wants to create you into a new being with his help, with his life, and he says if you'll allow him to live more in you all the time, that you'll feel more alive than you ever have. Why? Because he is still creating in you. He's still creating in me. Somebody needs to be happy about that idea. He is creating inwardly and outwardly. Jesus is in the creating business, and the way I understand things, anytime if you build a house out of a tree and you create a house out of it, you got change. Human beings don't like change. I don't like it either, but I know it's necessary. I could just go on and on, but I'm going to get moved. Jesus created a heavenly and earthly governmental structure. There's different governmental structures. Second heaven, dark side's taken them over, fell out of heaven, came down to the earth. Second heaven. First heaven's on the earth. Second heaven is out here somewhere. Third heaven's where God is. Second heaven, powers of darkness, taken over governmental structure there. Jesus creates the position of authority. The position has the authority. So if Jesus is the creator of all things, we can understand how Jesus has created authority. For instance, George Bush is not president. He doesn't have the authority of a president. Right? Trump is now president. He has the authority of a president. Well, it's not that Bush had authority one day. It's the position of president has presidential authority. Are you with me? Jesus Christ has created positions of authority. Can you see why I told you got to see yourself as worthy of walking in authority? What makes a person bold is because they have accepted and are walking in this worthiness of authority. That's what it is. You can say, well, Alan, you seem a little cocky. Well, I hope so. Call me cocky for in Christ Jesus all you want to. That's all right with me. Now, the positional authority has dreams. The reason I say it has dreams is because Jesus is in the creating business. He has dreams. I went over that last week. These dreams have authority to become because of our position. What God puts in you, what Jesus Christ puts in you as a dream, as something to live unto, it is possible because of your position to create it in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the enemy of dreams? I went over this last week a little bit. What? What's the enemy of dreams? Fear. Fear has a voice of telling you why not and how you will fail. Fear is trying to be prophetic to your future, telling you who you're not. The Word of God is telling you who you are, you see. So you got to decide which one. Fear comes from the fallen nature of man. Men fail. Fear comes from falling. When we fail, failure with the right attitude moves you further. Failure with the wrong attitude, you can either fall forward or fall backward. You can fail forward or fail backwards. To fail forward means you've got the right attitude. Okay, I tried it. That way won't work, but I'm going to do another one. That's falling forward. Failure falling forward is just a mere step to success. Fear falling backwards is, oh, God, oh, me, here I've done it again. Somebody pat me on the head. I failed. I mean, You're better off if nobody pats you on the head if you fail. That's another teaching. Now, fear keeps us from success. Success is a battle. We all have one lifetime to overcome it. Fear is overcome, not eradicated. You remember I went over that one last week. Fear is overcome. It's not eradicated. I gave you a quote there. Let's look at it again. Fear is a hurdle in the race. You must understand that you are more than just a man or a woman when you're devoted to the truth that God has created you to succeed in Him. Don't make your fear more powerful than your dreams. I'm not going to reteach all of that. What if never succeeds? Fear is created. You create fear, so therefore you can destroy it. Somebody say amen. It's created. If you create it, you can destroy it. You must face your fears, not run. Now, here's a little quote I gave you last week. Nelson Mandela. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. You see, fear is with us, but fear is seen as something to conquer. I can't change God's plan. We are in the conquering business as Christians. We are to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If you're wanting a vacation to lay down and sleep and do nothing and just have a sweet little old life, well, good luck. If that's the case, you're trying to sleep and take a vacation in the battle zone. Just good luck with you. That's not where we are in life. We are in a battle. Now, you must see yourself as God sees you. A wise man once said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Being said, there's more to see than you're seeing. When you see, you don't see everything that's to be seen. So to understand Christ in us and to have the vision of the Spirit, we can start to see things change. Anybody ever said that statement? Going through hell. Now, this is in a battle zone. People are living in the battle zone. I want to give you a little bit of information here. Going through hell. Complaining is not equal to doing something about your hell. Say, Alan, you could have left that one out. I know what keeps you there. You see, the human fallen spirit of man, for some reason, thinks that complaining is equal to doing something about it. It's not. It's a deception. Can you hear me? Complaining is a deception. When you complain, you're not doing anything about your hell. The second heaven atmospheres are presently in the hands of Satan. What is Satan's predetermined goal? It says this in Scripture. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne, that is Satan, above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Does anybody see a lot of eyes in that statement? How do you know if you're sounding a lot like Satan? It's when I is the center of your communication skills. I this. I'm not being treated right. Oh, here's a good one. I'm not getting my needs met. Whoever come out with that book needs to have their head examined. I don't have my needs met. That's just giving somebody permission to try to manipulate and control another person. That's right. That is one of the most destructive topics and books I've ever seen in my life. World's atmosphere, Ephesians 2, wherein in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In times past, what Paul's saying here is this is the way we walked in times past. In times past, we walked according to the course of the world. Well, we just need to be sure that it's in our past time. A lot of people are trying to bring their past walking into Christianity and kind of got one foot in each one. Let me tell you something. If you got one foot on dry land and one foot in the water, are you still wet? You're still wet. You can't say you're dry, but you can say you're still wet. You can't do it. It's impossible. According to the prince and the power of the air. The prince and power of the air operates through deception. He's a deceiver. He deceives. Can somebody hear me? He's a deceiver. He's a manipulator. I was in one country a few years back. I don't know how to call the name of the country. And all the churches I went in, the preachers were the best deceivers I ever seen in my life. Listen, it was a lifestyle of a manipulation. Wow. Who could out-manipulate the other person was seen as the greater person. Wow. And it was just as bad in the church there as it was in that country. Wow. It was an acceptable practice to be a manipulator in the name of Jesus. My. That's another story. He's prince in power of an invisible realm. A prince is the chief governmental ruler. Now, we will lie, cheat, steal to be accepted in this atmosphere. When we were living according to, in times past, the second heaven atmosphere, what was happening to us? You would lie, you would cheat, you would steal. You would do anything to be accepted. Mankind has the need to be accepted. It's an inner need to be accepted. When you think another person can fulfill all your needs, you have been deceived. You've just flat been deceived. And if you're the deceiver, quit doing it to the other person. Come on, quit it. Your needs is to be accepted. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been accepted into the third heaven atmosphere. You see, the reason people manipulate others so much is because they don't know who they are. You don't know who you are. When you've been understand that you're worthy and you've been received by the kingdom of God, you will quit projecting your needs on humans. Is anybody with me? Listen, I'm wanting you to see angels is where I'm heading. Will you go there with me? If I'm hurting your feelings, just get over it and say I'm sorry and just go. Now, I promise you, you can't stay around it. It's going to get better. You got to repent and go with me as we go. It's going to get worse, but it's going to be better. You have greatness in you. Why? Because you've been accepted into the third heaven. You really have. We have no problem with being accepted in this fallen world. Our problem is believing the Word of God and it's saying that you've been accepted. You have permission to believe there's greatness in you. You've been given permission. Quit it. Quit fighting it. Quit it. You are great in Christ Jesus. Somebody. It'll fulfill that need that's in you. to be accepted. You have been accepted by the only one that can fill that need. You have greatness. You have talents and skills in you that are waiting to explode when in a third heaven atmosphere. You have. Say, Alan, not me. Yes, you have. Or this book's a liar. You've just been deceived for so long. You have talents and skills in you that are waiting to explode in a third heaven atmosphere. That's right. Everybody in here, everybody watching online. Let me give you another famous quote here, if it'll come up. Anybody know Oliver Wendell Holmes? One of my favorites. Let me go over here where I can see it better. The mind, once expanded to the dimensions of larger ideas, never returns to its original size. Did anybody get it? Listen, when your mind has been expanded unto the kingdom of God, it'll never go small again. Once you're being stretched by the kingdom of God, you'll never be the same. Never will you be the same. Am I trying to stretch your mind? You better believe your bottom dollar with everything within me. Why? Because I know you'll never be the same. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with where you are. I'm just saying there's a lot more where you're going. That's what he was saying by this quote. Life does not give you what you want. Oh, here we go again. Say, all right, bend over. Say, here it comes again. I can feel it. Life does not give you what you want. It gives you who you are. Anybody with me? It gives you who you are. Say, I'm worthy in Christ Jesus. I'm worthy in Christ Jesus. Are you getting it? Don't give you what you can't want what I'm talking about. You got to be what I'm talking about. And the fact is, you've already been accepted. We're just in this battle of wanting instead of being. What causes this book to come alive is in this little famous movie that I love so much. It's about the owls. At the end of the movie, this one little owl said, well, how did this all happen? And the great wise owl said to the little owl, you made it real. That's the way the kingdom of God is. We make it real. But you got to be real in the truth that you are worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because of what Jesus did for you and Jesus did for me. We are worthy. To not receive yourself as being worthy is bringing reproach against the cross of Christ. Don't know where that one come from, but it's the truth. To not see yourself as worthy of becoming is to bring reproach against the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. You must understand and believe that you deserve and have been given abundant life. Now, come on, church, you got to cross over into this. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it what? Now, is that true or not? Now remember, life gives you who you are, right? Not what you want. You got to become who you are before you can receive the abundance. The only way you can't receive it is because you see yourself as unworthy. All right, we're sinners. We've taken it to the cross. We ask for forgiveness. We've changed our identity. We traded ours for His. Then He says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly means the basket's full and it's running over. Does anybody in here feel like that you've got all the life that you want to live? You see, if you have given God 10% of your life, you will receive 10% abundance. If you give Him 50% of your life, you will receive 50% abundance. Every how much you give over is how much you get. You say, well, Alan, I don't need anything. Well, that's okay. Others do need what you can give them. There's a hopeless world out here, church. It's hopeless. The cry for salvation is the greatest I've ever read about or heard about. People so want what we're saying to be true. They want it to be true. We're not being fought by the lost. They're hoping what we're preaching is true. But we've got to believe it ourselves. We are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are worthy. When you see yourself as worthy, you're bold. You can go up to somebody and say, Jesus will take care of that. You know, He created the universe, you know. He can sure handle your problem. You have this internal lawyer that says, yeah, but what if He doesn't? Hey, come on. He will. That's right. He will. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's what it says. Say, but Alan, you don't understand my life. You don't understand what I've been through and what I've done. I understand this much. To him that is forgiven much, does what? He loves much. You see, it doesn't work like the human mind. Christ is the creator of everything. Since He's a creator of everything, He's a creator of forgiveness. To understand that Jesus, why did Jesus have to die? I'm giving you new revelation here. I showed you how God didn't create everything. Jesus did, right? So why did Jesus have to die? Because He's the one that created everything. He's the only one that could pay the bill. Because He's the one that made it all. Jesus saw the end from the beginning. He knew man was going to fail. So Jesus had in His plan of creation, His plan of redemption. That's what the scripture means, that He died before the foundations of the world. He knew we were going to fail. So before He created the heavens and the earth, He already had His plan of redemption in place. The cross was not a salvage job. The cross was in God's plan. You are in God's plan just as much as a cross is in God's plan. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? This is big. It's a big deal, big issue. Don't live on this planet the rest of your days going to Walmart and to work and with nothing else. Be a world changer, a life changer. Change the atmosphere in which you live. Life is too short to live in a fake comfort of the second heaven. Amen. It's all fake. Life's too short. There are no safe positions in second heaven atmosphere. Amen. You just well come out of it. You just well to give God all of you. Come out of it. Because there's not a safe place there. If you're thinking, well, I'm not going to go all the way with God because that gets dangerous. It's more dangerous where you are. I'd rather die serving God than I had get run over by a bread truck of the devil. To live in third heaven atmosphere, you must be bold. You cannot be casual or you end up a casualty. Casual Christians end up as casualties. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? Casualty, what does it mean? A person killed or injured in a war or accident. Victim, fatality, loss, missing in action. Now, I'm submitting to the body of Christ this morning. The reason that you have such, that you're a casualty in your life, test what I'm saying, could be because you're living a casual Christianity. Say thank you, Alan. I appreciate that bit of information. Satan will play with you if you're a casual Christian. He will mess with you. He will play with you. He will say, this is a safe place. Be casual. No. When you know who you are, you're bold. And when you're bold in Christ Jesus, the demons flee. That's right. Somebody. Darkness flees. That's right. Because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Wow. Y'all wore me out. You must stay positive. Can you hear me? To be bold in Christ Jesus is a person who stays positive. It's not positive thinking. It's just positive because you know the truth. The truth is God, Jesus, in His plan from the beginning to the end, He had a plan of redemption. Redemption means you redeem all things. The church of Jesus Christ, which I'm fixing to get into, evidently not today, but the church of Jesus Christ, we got to know who we are before we can be true redemptive tools of the kingdom. Can you, somebody, do you feel what I'm saying, or are you just putting up with me? Can you feel it? You must stay positive and hungry to see the world as Jesus sees it and not from your selfish perspective. Does anybody know what I mean to be spiritually hungry? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? To be spiritually hungry. Spiritually hungry. It's amazing if you're hungry what you'll do for food. It's amazing. If you're spiritually hungry, what you'll do for food, it'll make you run to a dead church. It'll make you run to a live church. I hope it'll make you run to church. Why? Because you're hungry. It's our prayer that if you come to new life hungry, that you will leave with at least a morsel of bread. Because we are going to declare in this place the supremacy of Christ Jesus. Now, it's up to Him to give out the food. But we are going to declare the supremacy of Christ Jesus in this place. And listen, you got to understand something. The revival we're looking for is a worldwide revival. Our thinking's much bigger than New Life. We just want to be part of it. Why are we online? Because we're under this idea revival's going worldwide. I believe Christianity can double on planet Earth this year because revival's going to hit the planet. Can anybody feel that? Revivals, I've heard people say, well, I'd like to go to this revival over there. What if any church you went into, it was in revival? You say, well, Alan, everybody don't believe everything just right. Well, we never have. It's not believing everything just right. It's just believing in the one that is right. It's Christ. Listen, God will make all things work together for good. I don't care how bad we screw it up. He'll make all things work together for good. all things. To pass through second heaven, to enter third, you must understand that there is a wind of turbulence. This is first heaven, second heaven is where Satan is. If you're going to third heaven, listen to me. If you're going to fly through second heaven to get to third, there's going to be some hell to pay. Can't help it. But just close your eyes and hang on, because third's right on the other side. We're determined. We know who we are. We know who our Redeemer is. We know what we're about. And we know we're going to the third heaven because we want to bring some third heaven to this earth. Is anybody with me on that? Listen, church, there's people that's hurting bad. We don't have enough counselors. We don't have enough good books. We don't have enough to fix all this stuff. At best, we've just fixed 2% on a good day anyway. We need an invasion of the Holy Spirit of God in this place, on this planet. It's what we need. I'll go to my grave begging God to send it. He is sending it. We are getting some. And I'm saying more, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, God. Send your power. Send your presence. Have you heard what I've tried to tell you today? Consider it and test it. Let's stand. Consider it and test it. Perhaps I've been a little hard on you, but I had a lot to say in a short period of time. So I'm trusting you'll take what's a witness to you. You'll just throw away what's not a witness, but you'll take what is a witness. So, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence, O God. And it is our prayer, O God, that this church would catch on fire. It would become a flame that could burn bright in a dark world. But let the light so shine that it'll bring light to all that are around. Be with us, O God, as we enter your presence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.